Bible to Proverbs chapter number 18. Appreciate that song. Amen. I'm not all that familiar with that song, but I love it. It's good. Amen. Y'all can remember the words of the chorus. There rings a melody. There rings a melody. There rings a melody. There rings a melody. Amen. And I do enjoy it. Amen. But the chorus is a little bit tricky on my part, but I'm glad we sang it anyway. Amen. It's a good song. I'm glad Jesus puts a song in your heart. Amen. Talks about a song in the midnight hour. Amen. And when it's dark all around, I'm glad there can be sunshine in my soul. Amen. And a melody. When everything's discordant all around us, there can be a melody in our heart. Praise unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter number 18 is where we're looking in the scriptures again. As I said there, we looked last week at the first 8 verses. So tonight we're going to look at the second set of 8 verses by the help of the Lord and try to plow through these, and not just to get through them, but to try to get something from them. I hope you are being blessed by the Proverbs. It's wisdom there if we'll receive it. It's more wisdom than we can receive, to be honest with you. It's treasures untold. Amen. You know, if you was to stumble upon a treasure chest, let's say you went outside and you was digging, hoping somebody left maybe a baby food jar of money in your backyard. And you dug and hit a treasure chest, prized that lid open, and I mean, there's just gold galore. More than you could carry. You know what you'd do? You'd get what you could carry. You'd stuff your pockets full, your hands full. You'd scoop up what you could. You could get. And so in this Proverbs, there's more than we can carry. They really are. But let's just get our hands full. Let's get all we can. Put some in our pockets. Amen. And use it for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18. I'll start reading in verse number 9. And read down through verse number 16 tonight. So let's do that as we've been doing it back and forth together. Verse number 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. And as an high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. I'll stop there with verse 16 and let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask his blessing on the reading of his word. Brother Duncan Bradley, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to be here.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Please help us, Lord.
Bless our ears to hear and help us to be of one mind and one accord. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for saying you can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. By the way, I told them in the prayer room right as we was leaving, because I forgot it and I meant to say it this morning and then I forgot it again until just now. But the young man that I mentioned that we saw there in Fishersville, we hadn't seen in several years. While we were there eating supper one night before service, I think it was the second night maybe that they were there, he downloaded the app for the radio station on his phone. And then when we went to his house, he told me that he has a Bluetooth and it plays through their speakers at their house, but it's not hooked to that phone. And so he sent Melissa a text and said that he had downloaded the app on that phone. So that he could, or that device, I don't think it's a phone, it's a device, that he could play it through the Bluetooth through their house. That's a real blessing. Because I know this type of music, not the type of music he's used to listening to, where he's going. And so this will be an encouragement to him, but the preaching will be encouragement to him hopefully as well. Amen. And so that's exciting and a blessing to me. Amen. Now, these Proverbs, as I said, we've looked at the first eight verses. So if we can do these eight, then that'll leave us eight to finish up this chapter. And again, these don't necessarily go together. Once in a while, there'll be a connection. And I see some connection in some of these, but not in all of them. But we'll look at that and try to tie those together that are. And then try to glean, even from those that don't connect, something that might be helpful. Maybe they'll connect with us in some way. All right. So verse number 9 starts off with this statement that we've looked at already, really. He says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Now, this shows the connection, and it's common. A common connection that's made in the book of Proverbs. It applies the tendencies of waste and thriftlessness or spending. If they're wasteful and they're spending, those things seem to go together, right? And then they also seem to tie together those that are sluggish and those that are idle. They go together, and then they go together with those others. In other words, it's like, as it is here, you've got the slothful man, that's the sluggish or idle man that goes along with a man who's a waster and he's a big spender, you might say. And we see that all through the scriptures. As a matter of fact, look at, especially Proverbs, look at Proverbs chapter number six, and there's about five or six verses that mention that. Proverbs chapter six and verse number six says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." So here's the ant that is busy, but it's also saving. It's also providing and preparing. All right, verse 9. "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." So he's saying there that if you're slothful, a lot of times there's also the truth that you're not saving anything, but you're spending things. Look at chapter number 10 and verse number 4. We'll see this again. Again, we've looked at these, and I'm just going back to remind us of some that we've looked at. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, they apply to the one we're looking at now in 18, verse 9. But here, Proverbs 10, 4, this is the truckers. Even the trucker's proverb, amen, Proverbs 10:4. "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." That's the trucker is not dealing with a slack hand. He's got his pedal to the metal, amen. And he's got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So he's trying to go. But the idea is that if he deals with a slack hand, in other words, he's slothful. He's slow about his work. He's idle. And so it makes him poor. Amen. But so he uses wastefulness and thriftlessness. I don't know if that's actually a word. My computer didn't spit it out when I typed it up. Didn't say it was wrong. But I'll say that wastefulness and not being thrifty go hand in hand, and they tend to poverty. Amen. The proverb informs us that idleness and laziness and wastefulness go together. If that's true, and it is, then we'd say that diligence and economy also go together. That if you're diligent about work and you're careful about your spending, that would go together as well. And so the statement here is a practical lesson. It's also a warning against being slothful, and a warning against being wasteful. Amen. Now, America, listen, that's a message America needs. We've had so much, so long, that we've gotten wasteful. Right? Amen. Matter of fact, there's a lot of problems that arise today that wouldn't arise if people were going hungry. Amen. Who cares what... Well, I'll just use it this way. Who cares what Donald Trump puts on Twitter if you're hungry? Amen.
Who cares what Madonna does or Britney Spears does or whoever else is if you're hungry? Amen. But there's a lot of things people get all up in arms about because they've got so much and we've got so much plenty that actually we're wasteful. We're wasteful with our time and we're wasteful with the blessings that God has given us. Amen. And so there's a warning against us being slothful and against us being wasteful. You remember the story of the prodigal son? Recall that story to your mind. You look at, just think of it. Look at the picture. You can watch that prodigal son. He's got his dad's goods on his back. He's loaded down with the goods from his dad's back, a blessing in his bag, but he's going down there and he's spending wastefully. He's not working a job. He's just spending big money. Right. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure out he's going to wind up with the husks that the swine did eat. He's going to wind up hungry. He's going to wind up broke. He's going to wind up destitute somewhere down the road. Amen. Amen. And really, again, I don't mean just rail on it, but somebody needs to tell Americans, somebody needs to go knock on doors and say, listen, if you don't get out of bed till noon, you're going to go hungry sometime or another. If you don't start getting up and getting active and doing something, amen. Amen. All these, matter of fact, Brother Gene, Brother Matthias said that he saw a fellow out holding up a sign and said, we'll work for food. And he said right beside of him was a restaurant with a help wanted sign. We've all seen that. He said he stopped, rolled down his window, and that fellow said, are you going to give me something? He said, no, come on, get in here. Go with me. He said, where are we going? He said, I'm going to take you in here and help you apply for a job. He said, you need a job. They need workers. They'll put you together. That fellow said, well, they would never hire me. And he started telling all of his problems. And Gene said, I'm going to talk for you. You let me do the talking. They'll hire you and your brother. He said, the fellow said, let me out of this car. I guess he thought Brother Gene was crazy. Amen. But a man that won't work will soon come to poverty. Also a person that won't save. Amen. There again, Americans, we've gone so long with credit being so easy that we've not saved like we should have. You say, what save? Amen. Most Americans. What does that mean? Amen. But the truth is, he's talking about here, don't be wasteful and don't be lazy. So the idea here is that a person ought to be diligent about working to earn his keep. And he ought to be diligent to be careful that it is spent wisely. Amen. Now that could also, by the way, be applied to spiritual things. Spiritual riches. Amen. We ought to be diligent to search out those spiritual riches. You can search them out through prayer and Bible study. We ought to be diligent to search. And then we ought to be careful how we share them. We ought to be sharing them and not just hoarding them up. Amen. Now at the same time, we ought to be retaining them as much as possible so that we can share them with others who don't have the blessings we have. All right, look at verse number 10. We go on with verse number 10. Let me get back over there because I've moved my place. Verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. You notice it doesn't say is as a strong tower. Not just God's name is something like a strong tower. No, it is a strong tower. Now, the next verse, the rich man's wealth is his strong city and as an high wall. Not a high wall, but like one in his own conceit. Amen. And so here God is not just like a strong tower. He is, and it's the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now, in times of danger, everybody needs a safe place. Amen. You notice that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I believe it is offered to any and to all. And yet, just the righteous run into it. Amen. Only the righteous, looks like, runneth into it and is saved or safe. You say, what, does that mean only those that are good enough get to run? No, that's not what it's talking about at all. Sinners can come. How is that? The song says, come ye sinners, poor and needy. Jesus' blood can make you free, for he saved the worst among you. when he saved a wretch like me. Amen. Sinners can come to Christ, they can come running to Christ, but he does not keep them safe in their sin. He keeps them safe in righteousness. Amen. They become the righteous when they get in his strong tower. Amen. But sinners that love their sin and sinners that hang on to their sin will not run to that strong tower. That's what he's talking about here. Sinners won't run to Jesus. They won't be saved because they won't come to him. He's available. He talks about how often he would have it. He said, but you would not. Amen. And he's available. And I'll say to you, don't neglect him. Amen. Don't neglect Jesus. Why do sinners not run to Jesus? Is it because they don't recognize the danger that surrounds them? Or is it because they don't recognize the Lord as a strong tower? Amen. Or is it, if this might connect to the previous, is that he's too lazy to do anything about his sin. And he loves living and wallowing in his sin. Amen. So why won't he run to the Lord? Maybe he's too enamored with the temporary pleasures of sin to run to Jesus. That's really right. Most everybody, I mean, I know you can pass out tracts and you can go to people and say, hey, would you like to go to heaven? Sure they would, just not now. And they plan on going to heaven when they die. But they plan on living, that's their idea, living until just a few seconds before they die. And then their plan is they'll call on the Lord before it's too late. Amen. Only problem is for many of them it comes too late before they realize it. Amen. Those that have been saved and made righteous by the blood of Jesus can testify that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. Amen. We can testify and recommend to others this same Jesus. Amen. We've all had something that bothered us, a sickness that came to our life or something that got to us, and somebody came up and said, you know, I found the perfect, this is what really helped me. And they're glad to tell you about what really helped them, and you're glad to hear it. Well, I want to tell you, the only thing that's ever helped sinners is Jesus. Amen. And that's what they need. And we need to be telling them about what really helped us. Amen. And what can also really help them. Amen. He's a strong tower. We know that because we found safety there. Amen. You know, in our politics, American politics, we hear a lot said about defense and our defense budget. That's sort of funny when you think about the government talking about a budget. Spending money like it, not like it's growing on trees. They're spending it faster than it could ever grow on trees if it did grow on trees. They talk about the defense and the defense budget. Nations need a defense. Nations would be imprudent not to have walls, not to have some kind of defense. Amen. Amen. Nations need a defense. And likewise, by the way, nations need a defense even in times of peace. Amen. I remember a few years ago, I'm old enough, I remember when Jimmy Carter started those SALT treaties, Strategic Arms Limitation Treaties, and their idea was going to stop the nuclear weapons. Well, we're in a time of peace. Who needs a gun when you're in peace? Well, you might need one to keep the peace. Right. Amen. You might need one because you don't expect peace to last, and it might be a false peace, by the way, anyway. Amen. And so the idea is, and let me back up here. Hitler signed those peace treaties with those countries while he was attacking them. Go ahead and lay your weapons down, we'll have peace. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Amen. So here's my point. Nations even need a strong defense in times of peace. And I'm going to tell you, sinners even need a Savior, not just when they hit the bottom, not just when everything crumbles down, but they need a Savior while things look like they're going pretty good. They need a Savior now. Amen. That's why he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Amen. Right now's the time to run to Jesus. Amen. And by the way, things look like they're going their way here in this next verse. I believe it goes right along with it. The rich man's wealth is his strong city and has a high wall in his own conceit. The rich man doesn't seem to feel like he needs the Lord because everything seems to be going his way. But he does need the Lord. Amen. This proverb is similar to one back in chapter number 10 and verse number 15. Let me get back there. Look at that. Proverbs 10, 15. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. Almost word for word. And then it says the destruction of the poor is their poverty. You remember we was talking, when I looked at that, I talked about his wealth is not really his strong city. It's just how he perceives it. The poor man is not really destroyed because of his poverty. It's how he perceives it. And so in this case, in Proverbs 18 and verse number, verse 11, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. That's how he perceives it. And he goes on to tell you that's how he perceives it in his own conceit, in his own pride. One reason why sinners don't run to Jesus is because they don't think they need him. Again, they know they'll need him someday. Just not today. Amen. The rich man may trust in his wealth as if it's a strong city. He may foolishly imagine that he doesn't need the Lord, but that's only in his own conceit. That is playing with his imagination. Amen. His strong city can be found to crumble in a moment of time, leaving him helpless and hopeless quicker than he could ever imagine. Amen. Amen. Now, I put this note here, and listen to this. Those who trust in Wall Street and in the stock market can be surprised when a sudden dip or a collapse or a crash in the market. Amen. That, it can just be a dip, just a bubble, just a blip. You can lose a lot quickly. Amen. All their gains can be lost in a moment. And even their capital can become worthless in a moment of time. God called the rich man in Luke 12, he called him a fool. You know why? Because he's trusting in his riches rather than trusting in the Lord. And by the way, we'll have to admit, a man is a fool. Truly, he is a fool when he trusts in his riches rather than trusting in God. Amen. Amen. Now this proverb, verse 11, does not, I don't believe it indicates that every rich man is unrighteous. I don't believe it's saying that every rich man is wicked or unsaved, but that most are. Amen. Amen. Few are actually righteous. Few are actually saved. Most rich men trust in their riches and therefore are unsaved. Amen. Many rich men are proud in their own conceit, he talks about here. And that pride keeps them from Christ. They won't turn to Christ. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hold your place, Proverbs 18. We'll come back. But 1 Timothy, Paul told Timothy to warn the people. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. I did find other verses, but I'm just going to use this one. 1 Timothy 6, 17. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Amen. Now that verse is chock full of truth. Riches are riches are uncertain. That's the word I was looking for. They're unstable. They're uncertain. He says not to be high-minded. Rich people tend to be proud. They tend to be haughty in many cases. And so he says he's talking about the name of the Lord's a strong tower. The righteous can run in there and find safety, but the rich man won't because he's looking at his riches as his strong city. And in his haughty mind, he thinks it's a high wall. That moves to verse 12. Look at verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Oh, he's talking about that man. Oh yeah, you think you're doing pretty good, but you're on the edge of destruction. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Amen. Probably most all of us, especially most men, we've seen it in movies. If it's back in the day when you watch movies, or you've seen it in clips, you've different things. And sometimes they'll call it instant karma. Now we're not Carmelites. Amen. Amen. But where some punk bully is that boy, he's just big bad, and all of a sudden he just gets his clock cleaned. Well, that's how this is talking about. This man, he's pretty haughty. He thinks he's pretty big and bad, but he's on the edge of destruction. That's what verse 12 is talking about. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Now this last verse, and before honor is humility. Before you can actually be honored, you're going to have to be humbled. You have to fall on your face a few times. Amen. Most all of us remember our parents clapping their hands when we learned to ride the bicycle. But there's some skint knees before that. There's some busted knuckles before that. And after it, by the way. Amen. There were some times we fell over. There's some times we made a fool of ourselves. Amen. And before honor is humility. We have to be humbled before we can be lifted up to a place of honor. So the rich man here that he's talking about, I believe in verse number 11, that is imagining in his own conceit that his riches are going to stand like a high wall. He's in foolish reasoning because he's near destruction. That wall will fall. I thought it sort of interesting. In his pride, in his conceit, he boasts about a high wall. I mean, his wall so high, he names the street after it. Wall Street. And, I mean, even God can't sink our Titanic. Really? we can take an ice cube and sink your Titanic. Amen. But he's prideful, but that wall will fall. When the heart of man is haughty, he is headed for destruction. Amen. We saw that just a few days ago. Look back at Proverbs 16 and verse number 18. This one most everybody's got memorized. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Now we all know that Lucifer fell. You know why he fell from heaven? Because of pride. Amen. We know that Nebuchadnezzar, highest reigning man ever was. He was the head of gold of all the empires. He fell off of his throne because of pride. Amen. Foolish reasoning. God resists the proud. God gives grace to the humble. Amen. Amen. Now that last phrase of verse number 12, and before honor is humility. We've seen that before. Look at chapter 15 and verse 33. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Look at this. And before honor is humility. Now, why did God repeat himself? Well, maybe because we didn't get it the first time. But probably because through repetition is really how we learn. And so he repeated it so we would learn that the way up is down. Amen. Amen. Let me read you some things that I said about Proverbs 15:33. That phrase, before honor is humility, is connected with the fear of the Lord there in Proverbs 15:33, because genuine wisdom is utterly incompatible with pride and arrogance. Amen. Pride and arrogance are mutually destructive of honor and humility. Right? And the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, honor and humility, is destructive of pride. No person can be considered truly wise until they've come to accept their true condition of utter shame, utter bankruptcy. In their humility, they bow before God. That's where they come to receive an lifting up, an uplift, amen, from the Lord. When we beg out to God for mercy, forgiveness, and instruction, that fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of wisdom. Amen. That phrase, before honor is humility, recognizes that wisdom and kindness are in God's rebukes. The song the lady sang, that first song, talked about God leading them in a way to make them stronger. You know how you make yourself stronger? You have some difficult tasks. Yeah. You don't make yourself stronger just by doing easy things. You make yourself weaker by doing easy things. You make yourself stronger by doing hard things. Amen. And so that's God's rebukes, God's chastening, God's disciplines are actually His kindnesses that lead us in the path that teach us humility and will eventually bring us to honor. Amen. We come to the place we recognize that the cross must precede the crown. Amen. The cross must precede the crown. If you don't take up your cross and follow Him, you're not even worthy to be His disciple, let alone to reign with Him. Amen. Look at verse 13. We're in Proverbs 18:13. And another one we've hit before. I don't have the others listed. But he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Amen. Most of us, and I'm preaching myself, my wife can sit there and say amen all the way through this because she gets on to me. She gets on to me once in a while whenever I listen to her get on to me. She gets on to me about not listening enough. Answering before I've heard all the question. Yeah. Most of us need the patience to hear out a matter that we can give the right answer. He says it is folly and shame to do otherwise. And yet, so often we commit that failure. We do it all the time. We do it a lot of the time. I shouldn't say all the time. That's what our wife would say. We do it all the time. You never. You always. No. But we often fall in this category that we don't listen before we answer. Amen. We've been warned. We've been warned by Solomon many times. Many of these wise proverbs have warned us to hear the matter completely and then judge righteously in these matters. Amen. We've all heard this phrase that there's at least two sides to every story. I found out that most times there's even more than two sides. Usually they're his side and her side and what really happened. Amen. Just to be honest with you. Amen. Brother Richard Owen used to say this. He said, when you're preaching several sermons. You're preaching the one they think you're preaching. You're preaching the one you think you're preaching. And then you're preaching the one you probably really are preaching. Because people pick up on different things. Rather than latching on to the whole thing, they get one part that speaks to them and just rings their bell. Well, that's good. That's good. But we need to this idea here, we need to listen before we answer, all right? That's the idea. We ought to be careful and be careful about making judgments based on one side of the story. Amen? Amen. In other words, well, I'll just say it this way. It is frustrating to put together a puzzle when you don't have all the pieces. So it's wise to get all the pieces before we... In other words, look at the whole picture. That's what I'm talking about. Look at the whole picture. Amen. So prejudging is folly. And prejudging brings shame to those that are guilty of it. So often we do. Look at verse 14. I move quickly off of those I'm guilty of, by the way. Verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. I believe that's talking about when a man has a good spirit, he will be sustained even in his infirmity. A good dose of optimism is strong medicine. But a wounded, downcast spirit will bring one down. I believe that's true in almost all cases. Amen. In natural cases and in spiritual cases. In natural cases, we know that sheer willpower has been found to have great ability. Amen. astoundingly strong with just sheer willpower. But in spiritual cases, I believe it's God that gives us the spirit to continue. I believe it's God that gives us the spirit to overcome. Amen. Amen. Now, that's not to say that responsibility is not on us to ask for that and to look for that and to apprehend it when it's offered to us. Amen. Lay hold on those things, I believe. I believe that's right. You think about the account of Paul and Silas. We know the story real well, Acts 16. Paul and Silas thrown in jail in the middle of the night after they've been beaten and falsely accused. And they're singing songs at midnight. How'd they do that? They had an overcoming spirit. They had a wounded body, but not a wounded spirit. Their spirit was still strong. Had a good spirit. Amen. Do you know it's possible that your body not be wounded and yet your spirit be wounded? Yeah. And then it's possible that your body be wounded but your spirit not. The case of the martyrs, their bodies were tortured on the rack. Many of them, they were starved. They were beaten. They had their things stolen, confiscated, and all that. They had their families killed in front of their eyes, some of them. And on and on and on, and yet they would go to the stake with a smile on their face, with a song on their lips, praises unto the Lord coming out of their mouth. How could they do that? They had a good spirit. Amen. Amen. This proverb's like one found in the previous chapter. Look at chapter 17 in verse 22. We looked at this already. You can see it goes with it. Proverbs 17, 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. That is almost identical to verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded man who, or a wounded spirit, who can bear? I believe this proverb, it's the same proverb, so I'll say these two that go together. I believe that is especially true to those that have some physical malady. The attitude affects the disease. Amen. You say, preacher, are you talking about the power of positive thinking? In reality, I am. There is some truth to that. Amen. Now, just because you believe it, you can believe it strong. Just because you believe it strong enough, don't make it so. You can believe that you can walk on water and drown trying. Really believe it. So positive thinking don't, you know, it's not necessarily going to do all things, but there is power in positive thinking. Those that seek to live cheerfully despite their physical sickness generally tend to do better than those that wallow in their pity and wallow in their pain. Amen. Brother Hall called it the Molly Grubs. Amen. Come in here. And I remember him and Brother, Moody, Brother Mike Moody. Brother Moody, first time he ever came to Vision. He mentioned we had a gravel parking lot that y'all had a paper. He said, Brother Hall told him, we should have never paved this parking lot. Said, too many people come in with asphalt burns on their bottom lip. Amen. Down in the Molly Groves. Listen, we do have problems. We all have problems. Amen. You say, preacher, my feet hurt. So does about everybody in this building probably. I got a headache. Well, you would too if you was married to me. Or if we was married to you. Amen. I mean, we got problems. I'm just saying, we got problems. Right? We don't have to wallow in them. And I'm not making light of those problems, but I am saying we need to work on our spirit in the midst of those problems. Amen. Amen. Those that smile and go on usually tend to do much better than those that allow themselves to sink down under the pressure of the pain and the problems. So how are we to take this proverb? What are we supposed to do? Well, here's what I believe. I believe we ought to seek to live in the sunshine of God's love every day. We ought to ask God to help us hear the birds sing. Help us see the flowers bloom. Help us see the beauty of the day. Amen. I feel sure I've used this illustration before. I heard it years ago, and it's simple. This lady had twin girls. Lady was in a hospital bed in her home, sick. She had been confined to that bed for some time. She had roses outside her house, outside her room, but she couldn't see them as to where she was laying. And so she sent her two daughters out to get the flowers. And they came back with a bouquet of roses. One of them said to her mother, "Mama, you'd never believe how many thorns are on those roses." And the other one said, "Mama, you'd never believe how beautiful are the roses amongst those thorns." A lot of it is how we look at it. Amen. Amen. I'll say this. I know I've said this before, but there'll be enough tears for one life. Amen. There'll be enough dark days for our journey. Let's ask God to let us notice the good days, the good things. Ask God to let us feel the good things. Let us see the good things. Let us enjoy the good things of God. Amen. Those things that bring Him honor and glory, let's gather them up and give them to Him as a bouquet of roses. Amen. Amen. I believe if we think on how the Lord has blessed us, it would bless us again. Amen. 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 Well, we're all familiar with 1 Samuel 30. David had gone to the Philistines and the enemy had come and burned Ziklag, and they had captured the women and children. They had took off everything that they had. Ziklag was burned. The men was about to stone David. You remember what David did? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Now what is that? What does that mean? Well, David changed his thinking. Amen. Instead of thinking about the trouble that is all around him, David got to thinking about how good God was. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. And by the way, we can do that too. The spirit of man can do that. Amen. I believe God strengthens the spirit of man to help us be able to make it in the hard times. Amen. Look at verse 15. I'm moving on. Verse 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Now again, Solomon returns to, I believe, one of his favorite subjects, the seeking and gathering of knowledge. Amen. He tells us that the prudent man has a heart that gets knowledge. He tells us that the wise man has an ear that is open, seeking knowledge. The prudent man understands the value of knowledge, and so he seeks it with all his heart. Amen. He understands the value of knowledge, so he seeks it with all his heart until he finds it and apprehends it. Now the heart here in Proverbs 18:15 is used synonymously with the mind. I mean, how does the heart get knowledge? Well, it gets it through the mind. And often in our Bible, there's a lot of places in our Bible that the heart and the mind are interchangeable. Sometimes a verse will even say it one way and then later say it the other way. They're interchangeable in many of the scriptures, synonymously used with the mind. But this heart that he's talking about here is the seat of both intellect and affections. Amen. It's not enough that our mind contains information. Our heart has got to love it. Amen. Our heart has got to love that knowledge. We've got to have a heart for it. Other words, we've got to love knowledge and seek after it. Amen. Amen. We understand that the wise man already has some wealth of knowledge he's talking about here. And yet he prizes it so more he wants more. So much. He prizes it so much that he wants more. And he leaves his ear open for it. That's what he says. His ear is open. Now, what does that mean? That means that listening is the avenue to gain knowledge. Are you listening? Amen. Listening is the avenue to gain knowledge. I guess I could say, oh me, and take that back to verse 13 where he says you ought to hear out the matter before you speak. Amen. Amen. I put it this way in my notes. Keep your ears open to the truth. Perhaps our mouth ought to be shut and our ears open rather than our ears shut and our mouth open. Amen. In a lot of cases, I believe that's probably right. Those that feel that they have all the knowledge and wisdom that they need, they close their heart, they close their ear, and won't receive it. These people are outside the ones that Solomon's talking about here. In other words, they're outside the will of God. They're outside of what Solomon is acclaiming and applauding here. And he's praising this. He's praising those that are still seeking after knowledge. All right, verse 16, we'll be done. Verse 16 says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Compare that to one back in chapter 17 and verse 8. Look there. Chapter 17, verse 8. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. Look at chapter 19 and verse 6. Chapter 19, verse 6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. So he's talking about a gift makes room for you. A gift makes a place for you. A gift gives you an enlargement. That's what it's talking about, that somebody will listen. In other words, monetary gifts, I believe that's what it's primarily talking about, often make room for the one that offers that gift. He's talking about a bribe. I think there's a way this can be used rightly, but I believe in the context of the scripture, he's talking about how it's used wrong. Amen. Our society has a phrase, money talks. And sadly, we found out in most places it does. Mine all says goodbye. In reality, it seems like money talks, especially in politics, even in legal issues. Money talks. Amen. A lot of things, even in educational facilities, money talks. It seems if a person has enough money, if a person offers enough gifts, they can move up higher in these stations of politics and legal and educational things. They can move up higher if they got enough money that they can throw around. And he talks about it making room even among great men. Bringeth him before great men. It is a shame upon great men that they're bought by bribes. Amen. Did you know, I'm sure you know, and this isn't, well it is, did you know that many doctors are getting money from the pill companies for prescribing their pills? When I was in North Carolina and I worked alongside Brother Steve Laws, Brother Laws was telling me that a lady, his doctor's office, a lady in that doctor's office told him that she had not had to buy lunch for years. I believe it was 5 or 6 years. She had not had to buy lunch because some pharmaceutical company, every day a different one would come in. But for years they had bought their lunch, their whole office lunch every day. Why was he doing that? Making room. They had a gift. They're making room. They're selling product. Right. And that's a slam on doctors. Shame on doctors that do that. Shame on them. Amen. There's a lot of things that make room. Even in churches sometimes, people, if they're a big giver, they can get by with big sin. Shame on that. Amen. Money talks. In most cases, it does. Amen. But I say this, in closing, there's one judge that can't be bought. Amen. One of these days, this crowd's going to run up against somebody that's not excited about their money, that's not impressed with their riches, that's not bribed by their gifts. Amen. Amen. The only thing he's impressed with is the blood of Jesus. Amen. When that judgment day comes, the only thing that'll get you a place in heaven is the blood of Jesus.